Praise the Lord. Message number 293. And the title of this message, God's Calling Requirements, Part 21. And here we will tackle in this message the parable of the 10 minutes. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19. And we will read from verse 11 to verse 27. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to verse 27. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your minas has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I would judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one who has, nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We bless you, magnify you. Thank you for your word that you always send to your church, to your servants, to the workers, to those whom you are called, to strengthen us with your word, to enlighten our mind, to teach us more of your way, to explain to us certain situation that we may not be understand from the life events around us. I pray that this message will encourage your church, your servants, your people to raise up, to get revived, to come up from all sin and worldliness and things that are not pleasing to you. I pray that the message will clean us, clean your church and your people. I pray for salvation of souls. I pray for more ministry to be started, people to be committed to serve you. Oh God, I pray the message will bring warning also. It will help people to repent, give them hope, and give them healing from sin and from despondency and laziness. I come against it all and I rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. Oh God, anoint my lips and put verses and statements to encourage your people with your word. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord has a reason to give to the people this kind of this kind of parable, and why he said this parable, you know. And in verse 11 we read that while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem. The first reason why he gives this parable, because the road is moving forward towards Jerusalem and to the place that will be handed over to be persecuted, to be crucified, and he'll be put to death, and then he will be buried, then he will raise up from the dead. So before that even would happen, he would like to explain to the people about his second coming. He need to explain to them what is going to happen in the future. And also the other reason, verse 11 say that, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. You know, they were thinking, the people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, all of a sudden. The people, you know, at that time they were having a wrong concept of how the kingdom of God would appear. Even this today, some people, they have wrong concept about the coming of the kingdom of God. They were thinking the kingdom of God will appear in a spontaneous, irrational manner. It means that the Lord will come and we will go to heaven. You know, irrational manner, you know. No accountability. Many Christians, they think the kingdom of God will appear like a dream in the night. That when you sleep, you will see a dream and you find yourself in the kingdom of God all of a sudden. But the parable that the Lord gave, it showed that the kingdom of God will not appear as something haphazard. Instead, he shows us deep truth about our responsibility and our accountability toward the coming event of the appearing of the kingdom of God. According to this parable, I do understand, and I convey this to you, to the church, to everyone listening, that this Christ parable, it means to us, his coming either will be a source of reward or a source of judgment and punishment to those who disobey. A reward to those who are obedient, and judgment and punishment for those who are disobedient. In verse 12 we read, he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. And that is the noble man, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He came from heaven, then he died on the cross for our sin, he was buried and he was raised from the dead, and he went to heaven enthroned, and he is now at the right hand of God the Father. And he will come back to take us to heaven. So the Lord, before that would happen to him, he gives this parable. And this noble man, in what he did in this parable, he said he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas, put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Therefore, before he will be passing through the process of the cross, the Lord gave this parable. And this parable, that God is calling his servants and he entrusted them with certain things. In the parable we read that there's a 10 minas, in order that they will put them into work till he will come. God wants a certain profit from out of what he gave them. He gave 10 minas, and 1 mina is equal to 3 months wages, 3 months income. So he called 10 of his servants and he told them, work it out, put it in work until I come. So he was expecting a profit from them, and he gave them everyone supposed to be 1 minute, 10 minas for 10 servants. So everyone, more or less, he took 1 mina. So everyone took the same of other person with him. So here we can speak about God's justice, and God has no favoritism, but he will deal with each and everyone in the same measure. The servant who took these 10 minas, they should thank him and be grateful to him. They should say to him, thank you. Somebody would give you 3 months salary in advance What you would tell him, and he will tell you work it out. I'm going, then I will come back. Work it out and work on it and give me something. Sure, you have to be thankful to him. These people, instead of they being thankful to him, they betray him. In verse 14, but his subjects hated him and sent a delegation up to him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. They hated their master, who trusted them, who gave them good things. The question that we are going to put here, why these people, they hated him? And why they did not like him to be king over their lives? Why people today that God called hate Jesus and they don't want him to be a king over their lives? You must understand yourself. Then you will be able to understand your position and your concern about the second coming of Christ and what God wants you to be when he come back. Why people, they hated him and they sent delegation that we don't want this man to be over to be a king over us. First, people, they don't like to be accountable. People love to receive and enjoy what they receive, but they don't want to be giving account to what they receive. They don't like to be accountable. How much you receive? Don't tell me. Don't ask me how much I receive. I am not accountable. That's what they say. But Christ wants people to be accountable. Why they hated him? Second reason, people, they don't like to be working hard. People are usually lazy and they don't want to work hard. People, they want to live a complacent life. And when he had given them, every one of them, Amina, they know that I have to work it out hard. I cannot live in my laziness. I should come out from my comfort zone. The third reason, people, they don't like to be scrutinized. People, they don't like to be questioned or examined and get investigated about the details of their lives and conducts. We don't want this man to be a king over us. They know when he will come back, he will tell them what you did and why you did not get anything, what happened. You have to tell everything, and they don't like to be scrutinized. Workers and Christian people nowadays, they don't like to be examined closely by the church. The fourth reason why they were hating him to be king over them, people, they don't like to be controlled. People, they don't like to be controlled and hindered from doing their own will. Usually people has many plans and ambitious projects that contradict God's will and God's plan. Therefore, they are hating the Lord who devise plans against their wishes and plans. You know, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 11, the word of the Lord that he sent through Jeremiah to the people who were doing their own will, their own plans, their own wishes. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise devices against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doing good. Here the Lord is framing a devices and a plans against the people because he wants them to stop their own plan. The more the people are heading with their plans that are against the Lord, the more he will devise plans against them to break their pride and arrogance. Now as we go through this parable, you know, we will get further points to make us understand the will of the Lord and the way that his second coming will take place. When he come back, when he came back in the parable, the noble man, as we understood that when he called his subjects, 10 of his servants. And he entrusted to them, all of them, they sent letters that said, we don't like him. But when the Lord came back and he sent the 10 of his servants, you know, we found out that when he sent on the first one, who came back and he told them, this is, Lord, this is 10 minutes back. So there was a people among them had been changed. And the second one who came, he told him, Lord, this is, you gave me one, this is your mina, have gained 5 more. The same people who hated him, the same people, now they are fruitful. It means that they were changed with the measures of the Lord and with his word. They were changed. They don't like to be fruitful, but now they are fruitful. Those people got changed because they knew that they will not be able to change the will of God, and they will not be able to oppose the Lord and go against his plan. Everyone, I tell you something, everyone, God is calling, the first thing that person will do, he will hate the Lord. Because he does not like to be accountable. He does not like to be scrutinized. He does not like to be controlled. He will not like to work hard. But finally, the Lord will deal with each and every one of us in a special way that really he will put us into track. The Lord shall force the people to be changed. This parable will give us a clear teaching that the Lord will force the people to be changed. Many understand that the Lord is gentle. Some people, they say that the Lord is not so much judgmental, but from this parable, even from the rest of the Lord's teaching, you will find that the Lord has given no option to those who does not like to obey. The only option he gives them is, if they will not obey, they will end up in hell. And he will do what he said. What he said he will do. That's why those two of the 10 servants, when the Lord came, they are fruitful. Because they know that they will not be able to change the will of God. They understood the lesson. And they know also, in verse 15, he was made king over and returned home. They understood that no one can do his own will. There is a king over us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be changed. And the Lord shall reward the people that had been changed. You read verse, the end of verse 15. Then he sent for the servant to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. He went to find out. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. He was rewarded. And verse 18 and 19, the second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. The second, his master replied, you take charge of 5 cities. The Lord will reward us as we are fruitful in his kingdom. Eternal life with reward will be the lot of those who are complying with God's will and plan. When he will come, it will be, his coming is not haphazard all of a sudden. It's not luck or chance that day or that time. Everything is studied well. People have been given opportunities to prove their commitment or their naughtiness. When he will come, it will be either a day of judgment and punishment or day of reward. Punishment to the wicked, reward to those who are being changed and obedient. Principally, everyone, when the Lord called him, he hated the Lord because the Lord is against the flesh that we carry. But as we understand that we cannot change the will of God, as we understand that we cannot force the Lord, but he is forcing us to be changed, as we understand that not my will but His will finally will happen in my life, we'll be complying with His requirement for us to be changed, and we'll be blessed. And the Lord, when He will come, shall punish the people that are not willing to be changed. In verse 27 we read, the Lord said, but those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Eternal fire will be the lot of those who hate God and hate to walk in His ways. And the Lord shall judge the people that are not willing to be changed and who are hiding their sin. You know, in this parable we read there are three categories. Basically, initially all of them, they hated the conditions that the Lord put on them. But later on, we can find three kind of people in this parable. The first people had been changed. The second kind of people, those enemies, they hated them and they continue that hatred and they will be end up in eternal fire. And the third category, those who are not willing to be changed, but they are smart in hiding their sin. The third person who came, verse 20, then another servant came and said, Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. This person is a one who pretended to be a smart in hiding his sin. This person, I can say about him, is lazy, is selfish, and does not want to work hard. And when he was called to give an account, he put forward his excuses, and he put the blame even on the Lord. He tell the Lord, I am not fruitful because you are a hard man. I did not do anything because you are hard with me and I was afraid. Such kind of people, you find them much, not outside the church, inside the church. Inside the church, people are such, they are having this criteria. They are unfruitful, but they know how to hide their sin. They know what God had asked them to do, but they have their own excuses to excuse themselves. They are so adamant and unwilling to comply, and they will use all their might to cover up their sins. But the Lord will face such kind of people and expose their sins and judge them, and He will judge them. And we as a church, because such kind of people, they are, as I described, they are inside the church. The church should be aware of such kind of people and deal with them and their sins. The church should stand with the Lord to discipline such kind of people. In verse 22, his master replied, I will judge you by your own words. There's judgment ordained by God on those people. You wicked servant, you know, you knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking all what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? He told me, you knew that you will be punished. You knew that you will be rewarded for your punishment. And we as a church, when the Lord acts against such kind of people, we should not hinder the judgment of God on them. The Lord even explained to that person what he needed to do. And we need to explain to such people what they ought to do, what they were ought to do. Why the judgment of God would fall on them. Why we stand with the Lord against them. In verse 23. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? The minimum you can do, you know it very well, you can put it in any bank. And you have interest. When I come back, I say, Lord, this is your money and with this interest. So the Lord explained to him that you can do something. Why did not do? When the Lord explained this to him, Finally, he put his judgment on that person. He did not reward him, and even what he had been taken away from him. We need to do the same and apply the judgment of God on those who are hiding behind their sins. I say it again, there are many people who are unfruitful inside the church, but they are so smart to hide their sin, and we need to discover them. Verse 24, then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. There are many people inside the church. They use the church for a privilege, but they are unfruitful. They know how to have their own excuses. They cover up their sin. They are parasite leeches inside the body of Christ. This kind of people who knows God's will and are hiding with their sins inside the church, will try to deceive others. Will try to deceive us and will pretend that they are innocent and godly. You know, when such kind of people God is judging, you know, when this man came and he said to the Lord, this is yours, I hide it because I was afraid because you are a hard man. You know, that man, he was not bluffing the Lord. He was not covering his sin from the Lord. He knew that the Lord knew it. But there are people around also. They were hearing it and they know his life. His excuses was to deceive others around him. When the Lord judged that person, when he said, take away from him, that mina and give it to the one who has 10 minas, the other people, the other believers who were around them, around that person, around the Lord, that man was deceiving them. What did they say to the Lord? Verse 25, Sir, they said, he already has 10. They are speaking about the other person who is the fruitful. Lord, he has 10 minas. You have rewarded him, Lord, but this guy, you know, is very poor. Lord, please keep it for him. To such kind of people, such kind of people, their intention is to deceive the others in the church. In the way that their sin will be acceptable. Their lack of productivity will be covered and they are excused. So when the Lord will judge them, and every time and then, this kind of people, they're always judged. Oh, they are in trouble, always they are under the discipline of God. We need to discern why such people are always in trouble. Because God is judging them for their sin. What they are doing, they are deceiving us. But the Lord is faithful and will explain to us. He will explain to his church and show us the sin of such kind of sinners inside the body of Christ, and will show us his justice toward those who are obedient in doing his will. Verse 26, for I say unto you, that unto everyone which has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. That is in King James, and NIV say, he replied, I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The Lord will explain to us more. We need to recognize the ways of God. We need to go deep through his word. I pray that the message is a blessing to you as you hear, you apply. God wants to bless you. We want to bless his church and his people. That's why he sent his word to us, to direct us. Here we are, Lord. Let's come to the Lord. God wants you to understand his way, his will, his ways, to amend your ways. You need to understand that you cannot go against his will and plans. Sooner or later you will be exposed and the Lord will deal properly with you and with your sins. Our God is the Lord of justice. and he will reward those who are faithful and fruitful. My encouragement and my advice to you, rather, therefore, be motivated with the reward of the Lord, and repent and be changed, so you be blessed and live a life that please God. The Lord, when he will come, shall find you ready. Tell him, Lord, I repent. Kneel down right now in the name of Jesus and tell him, Lord, I repent from the sin. Lord, I thank you for your word that show me clearly about your ways and your judgment. Lord, I commit my life to the calling that you entrust to me. Even, Lord, I had to be controlled, I had to be scrutinized, I had to work hard, but I will be changed because I know I can do nothing apart from you, Lord. I commit myself, Lord, to be fruitful and a productive person in your kingdom. Lord, uphold me with your grace. Provide for me, Lord, to continue to serve you, God. I cry out to you, Lord. You help me, God. I want to serve you, Lord. I pray, O Lord. Bless your people. Bless your church. Bless everyone who cry out to you, Lord. Help your people to abide with your will, O God. Lord, use this message, O God, to encourage your church, to raise up servants of yours, to bring revival in the midst of your people. O God, bless us. Enlighten our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name. Amen and amen.